You're listening to the Jefferson Exchange. I'm Mike Green. In celebration of Native American Heritage Month, a free community event will be held at Blue Heron Park in Phoenix, Oregon on November 1st to honor tribal stewardship and 5 years of ecological recovery since the Alameda Fire. The event is hosted by the Lomecatse Restoration Project and the Intertribal Ecosystem Restoration Partnership. Joining the exchange to tell us more are two leaders from the Lomecatse Restoration Project. Belinda Brown is Director of Tribal Partnerships. Welcome, Belinda.
Thank you, Michael.
And Marco Bay is the Executive Director. Welcome, Marco.
Good morning.
So, Belinda, let's start with you and the upcoming event. Tell me about it.
Well, the upcoming event really is outcome of a lot of partners coming together and seeing the value of the collaboration and the teamwork that it takes to recover after a crisis such as the Alameda Fire that took out 2,500 homes, 600 businesses, burned 3,000 acres, and 11 miles of fire went up the Bear Creek Greenway. So that was a crisis that brought people together. And I believe that this event is a culmination 5 years later, still bringing people together to work together to restore our ecosystem, but also to restore our spiritual development and humanity here, that people are not separate from the ecosystem. And hopefully this event will help people connect to each other again and realize the importance of the indigenous traditional ecological knowledge that the Aboriginal people have had for time immemorial to care for their environment and to make sure that we protect the beings like the salmon. So Lomecatse was called into action right after the Alameda Fire to help preserve the soil so there wouldn't be so much soil erosion and toxicity going into Bear Creek. And then the fire did expose some springs in the Phoenix area, and we'll be celebrating one of those springs and celebrating also with the indigenous traditional ecological knowledge of water is life for all of us. And due to the fire, there's been an effort with the Save the Phoenix Wetlands and partners with the Rogue River Watershed Council that they have been restoring this spring and actually got it reconnected to the Bear Creek, which is good news for the salmon and everything that is living there. So that indigenous traditional ecological knowledge and the kickoff of Native American Heritage Month connects us back to what we all are dependent on for life, and that is our Mother Earth and those sacred elements of water, fire, air, and earth that keep us all living.
Well, it sounds like an important event, and the work of the Lomecatse Restoration Project is very important. Marco, tell me more about the work.
Yeah, so the opportunity that's going to happen at the park is a broader effort occurring really across the region to celebrate the tribal hands on the land. For the last 15 years, the Rogue Valley has served, at least through our program, a tribal workforce training and employment program, Indian Youth Service Corps, the Intertribal Conservation Corps. There's tribal members from about 8 tribal communities that will begin work usually around the middle of October. We're just starting out up near White City area and Central Point up in the foothills there as part of Oak Restoration Projects. So tribal members will come and work until probably about April as part of a apprenticeship program and a training program. And many of these tribal members, some from with bloodlines from the Rogue Valley, but the Klamath Basin, Pitt River tribal community, Northern Paiute bands in the Great Basin, have been doing a ton of work, not just along the riparian reaches, but in the uplands, through ecologically based fire prevention, carefully applied prescribed burning, and stewardship work. So hundreds of tribal members over the years have conducted these operations and received trainings and certifications. Then they get to go back to their tribal communities and get integrated into their tribal departments or work for agencies. And some decide to stay with Lomecatse, and we appreciate that too. So we're going to be able to celebrate those crew members who've been doing a lot of this work, in addition to have tribal leaders honor those crew members, and then honoring all the hands on the land that are implementing restoration. Belinda mentioned some of the leadership and the partners. So a lot of the focus is bringing awareness that the community realizes there are tribal community members living in the Rogue Basin about 8 months a year and doing this important work of restoration of the ecosystem.
Well, Loma Kotze has a history of restoration work with partners along Bear Creek. Tell me about that history. How did Loma Kotze come into being?
Well, this is we're in our 30th year, and we're approaching our 31st year as an organization. And a lot of our foundation began with riparian restoration in the Upper Bear Creek watershed, implementing riparian restoration, planting a variety of trees and shrubs to create shade for the benefit of salmon, and integrating that with a lot of partners. And over the years, with investments from the Oregon Watershed Enhancement Board and private foundations and federal resources, we've been able to scale up that workforce and protect the important resources for the benefit of anadromous fish along Bear Creek. And we're one of many partners. There's a lot of leaders in the community doing incredible work along Bear Creek. We just want to highlight for this event, the tribal members that are have done this work for half of our lifespan as an organization, and really since our inception in 1998 when we began our riparian program with our tribal workforce program, along the many tributaries that feed into Bear Creek, there's been tribal hands on the land implementing that work.
My guests are Belinda Brown and Marco Bay from the Loma Kotze Restoration Project. They're co-hosting an event at Blue Heron Park on November 1st to honor tribal stewardship and 5 years of ecological recovery of the land since the Almeida fire 5 years ago. So Belinda, how did the idea for this event originate?
The idea for this event originated through a meeting we had a few months ago with a private donor, private philanthropy, and also the Ashland Culture of Peace Commission, which I was a founding member of that, and bringing together people for a larger event that's going to happen next year with the Peace Trail that's going to go from Oregon, Portland, Oregon, down to Southern Oregon University with the World Peace Flame. So with that collaboration, again, partnership effort, we decided to focus on elevating tribal stewardship and connecting people back to the land, back into their community, with focus on the word unity in the community. And really understanding at the end of the day that we're all indigenous to somewhere, that we all have that connection to land somewhere. And a lot of our work in the past has been helping youth and young adults overcome nature deficit disorder. And part of the understanding with the indigenous traditional ecological knowledge is that we need that connection to the land, that people are supposed to be connected to the land. And in doing and providing this event and participating as partnership in the community, partnership with our tribal, our Latino, everyone in the community coming together, that they would hopefully be able to feel that and bring about peace and understanding and build those bridges of understanding between indigenous traditional ecological knowledge and Western science so that we come to solutions that can sustain our environment and ourselves into the future. Our people think in seven generations, so it's important that everything that we do as leaders in our community is thinking for those seven generations. Those eyes are upon us now, and the work that we do is to honor our ancestors and our elders say to have a voice for the salmon, to have a voice for the birds, to have a voice for those generations coming so that we're accountable with the actions that we're doing today. So we all believe in the same cause of being able to have a healthy ecosystem and also being able to provide spaces for healthy people to engage in healthy activities.
Well, it sounds empowering. I mean, we take care of the land takes care of us. You mentioned nature deficit disorder. That that conjures up a lot of things in my mind, but I'll let you explain that. What is nature deficit disorder?
Nature deficit disorder is what a lot of our young adults and youth are experiencing. I am a mother of eight. I think that's the most important work I've ever done. And I believe that the beast that we're wrestling for the hearts and minds of our children and youth today is technology. So making sure that youth have opportunity and space to get out on the land and connect with the environment that they live in, our elders will always tell us is the most healthy way to live. So living in the natural rhythms of the earth, sea, and heavens that our people were able to enjoy for time immemorial until recent colonization and industrialization, we are far from that now. And people need that. So they feel better when they're out on the land and their spirit feels nurtured and they feel connected as they can experience those natural places. And that's what connects us to our environment. So it's important that our young people understand that, and that they have the place to experience that, and that we make sure that we make those decisions again with seven generations in mind so that the great-great-great-great-grandchildren can experience the places that we hold sacred.
Well, when we come out to Blue Heron Park in Phoenix on November 1st, describe the event and what we can expect and experience.
Well, it will start with a land acknowledgement of acknowledging the Aboriginal people that were here first and the Indigenous traditional ecological knowledge that keeps us to this day. And so all of us, again, knowing and understanding that you're Indigenous to some place on this globe, go back to a singing and a drumming and a dancing society. So we're going to start with some singing and drumming and dancing. And again, that heartbeat of the drum, the heartbeat of Mother Earth, hopefully will help people connect back to that deeper sense of spirituality and their own indigeneity. And then we're going to have elected speakers from our Representative Pam Marsh, Senator Golden, hopefully some tribal elected speakers, and then also Dr. David Lewis, who will give us an overview of the region and some of the language and culture, being Tekelma and Kalapuya, and also an enrolled member of the Grand Ronde tribe. So bringing awareness to our tribes that have ceded land here, the Confederated Tribes of the Grand Ronde, the Confederated Tribes of Siletz, the Cow Creek Band of the Umpqua Tribe of Indians, along with our Shasta, Latgawa, our Klamath Nations that are going to be with us. So it's a celebrating of all of our people coming together, and hopefully, again, people will understand and be able to participate and connect in a spiritual way, and that we can all work as a community towards that next year's peace trail, but also celebrating our Native youth and young adults that are doing a lot of this work, as Marco said, along the Greenway. And Marco, you can take it away.
Okay, we have about a minute. We have less than a minute left. Marco, what do you want people to take away from this event?
Well, we're going to witness hands on the land. In addition to these great speakers and elected leaders, there'll be crew members from the Indian Youth Service Corps working with the Rogue River Watershed Council, planting willows. There'll be a tour of the spring from the Save the Phoenix Wetlands team and Dr. David Lewis. So what we want folks to take away is just a good feeling and a connection to this place and an understanding of the great work happening to restore ecosystems and sustain communities.
Okay, and so the event is from what time to what time?
9 a.m. to 1 p.m., and I believe we will get going around 9:30. We'll have a drum, Wokus Boys drum group from Klamath community. We're also partnered with the Red Earth Descendants, Dan Wapipa. We'll be assisting with some song and words of encouragement. And Virginia Amoroso with the Ojemawi Band of the Pitt River Nation, Shasta Descendant. So there'll be a really good lineup of tribal leaders, community leaders, and restoration leaders.
Okay, and we'll have to leave it there. Thank you both.
Thank you.
Thank you.